Tonight we'll just have an exhortation, a teaching, as our custom is, and tomorrow we'll be having a very tight schedule, which means from very early in the morning till late at night, just short breaks. So I'll just give us an idea tonight of what to expect throughout the convention. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. I'm going to read from verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, according to King James, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now we have a key word there in verse 19 precisely, where he says, make disciples. A phrase that refers to making people students. You have the word mathecheuo, which means the process of training or the process of enlisting someone into being a student. Then we have underlining the word mathetes. Mathetes is where you have a student or a pupil or a learner. In other words, the things of the faith are so unique that no matter what nation you are, you learn it or you learn of it. The faith has to be learned. The first thing is that the faith is believed and received. Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes. So the preaching, every time you find the word preaching, is to show that it's believed and received. Keruso, where you have the word kerygma. Such as Luke 24:47, repentance and remission of sins will preach in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Preached. But then the element of verse 19 means to make people learn. You have the word mathetes from the word mantano. Mantano is a process of learning in school, or the process of adopting things by comprehension. In other words, the faith is not an excitement. The faith of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a feeling. It's not an excitement. I mean, one of the things a respected Bible teacher once said that got my attention, not too far anyway, not once like a long time. He said, it's interesting that many people who are celebrated, he said they are celebrated because they built their theology on their experiences. Oh, I feel good. Oh, God did this for me. Oh, I saw this, you know. And that becomes what people refer to as the faith. The faith cannot be built on your experiences. So he says to make disciples where you have to learn, to comprehend what is in Christ Jesus, or what is about Jesus. So now, in the process of that, to make disciples, that means there will be, like we said earlier, a learning. Let me quickly mention this, so that at the back of your mind, you will have something ringing. In our book, The Ox and the Corn, one of the things that we highlighted, and I believe a very good observant student of the word will have noticed it, will be that the phrase full-time ministry is a misnomer. Because the phrase full-time ministry rather refers to the commitment in discipleship. It's not an extra to Christianity. It's not, it's not a special breed of people. Full-time ministry is actually the life of the disciple of Christ. It's not, now I'm born again, then I decided somewhere along the line to answer the call of God, and the call of God now requires that I stop being a lawyer, being a professor, being a banker, being a teacher, being a trader. I now focus on Christ. Well, that's not so. Because the essence of discipleship is to focus on Christ above all else. So the term becomes a misnomer. It's like a tautology. A full-time ministry. As though there's part-time ministry. Ministry itself is full-time. So full-time rather is the characteristic of ministry. A ministry is what a disciple does. That's why in Luke 9:62, Jesus says, no man who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom. Why did he say that? There were three calls. The man said, I want to follow you. He said, birds have nests, foxes have holes. The son of man has nowhere to lay his head. Another came to him. He said, I want to follow you, but my father is dead. I want to go and bury my father. He said, let the dead bury the dead. The third said, I want to go and tell my mommy and daddy that I want to follow you. He said, he that puts his hand on the plow and looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom. That's the reason why when he was done with the three, in chapter 10 verse 1, he now picked the 70. Who are the 70? Those who pass the test. That's not the test for salvation. That is a test for growth. The test for ministry. The test for discipleship. So it becomes a misnomer. The same way I must admit that the term worker is abnormal. Even though we have to use it in the present time. But the question is, who then is not a worker? The worker now will be that guy who decides to serve. Okay, so who then is not serving? That should be the next question. Because it should naturally flow that when you are saved, as you are saved, the service of Christ to you prompts you to serve the church. So, even asking you to join the workforce on its own, as it were, might deviate from the very truth of discipleship. Because the moment that you learn of Christ, you cannot learn Christ and not learn his servanthood. Matthew's Gospel 20. There was this issue among his disciples. You could read it from verse 16 or thereabout. And where Peter and John, James and John, the mom came to Jesus and said, I want my son, James, to sit on your right hand and John to sit on your left. And then all the other disciples, apostles, got angry. And he said, look, it's not given to me to know who sits on my right and left. He said, because if you can seek the baptism wherewith I'm baptized, then maybe, if you can take the sufferings that I have, then he said to them, he said, look, he that will be chief amongst you, he said, he will be your servant. He that will be great amongst you will be the one who serves. He uses the word doulos, a word that means one who gives up his freedom for another. Then verse 28, he said, for the Son of Man, talking about himself, came not to be ministered to. He uses the word there, diakone, a word used for one that is served. A word that you can find, diakoneo, D-I-A-K-O-N-E-O. To be served. Used 37 times. A word that is used for angels and their service. Diakonio. 37 uses. Used also for what you can call the angel. Who serves. He waits for instructions. Matthew 4:11 used for angels and minister to Jesus. And precisely if we are going to also observe, it's used for the Acts 16 experience. Those who will serve tables. Acts 6. There was dispute among the disciples and complaint and murmuring that the widows were being neglected in daily ministration. The Grecians and then the Hebrews. And there were issues around them. And then they came to the apostles and the apostles said, it is not good that we should leave the word of God, verse 2, and serve tables. He says, choose among yourselves seven men, honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, actually this need. We will give ourselves, verse 4, continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So, those seven, among whom was Philip, and then Stephen, were chosen. But notice something, you know, by the time you get to 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul rolls out, 1 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 1. He that is the office of the bishop desires a good work. 1 Timothy 3 and 1. But then he says the bishop must be, blameless husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, good behavior, giving to Australia and so on and so forth. Then he gets to verse 8. Likewise, he says, the deacons be grave, those who serve. Now, obviously, there's a group of people who serve, and today we can call them the assistant pastors, assistants and leaders who serve. He said they must also be grave, not double tongue. He says not giving too much wine, not giving your feeding Luca, about the same thing he gives about the office of the bishop. The only difference is the ability to teach and then the ability to govern. It makes it distinct. But the point is, until a man therefore is asked to teach, he must be found faithful in all these things. That's why in the second chapter, in the second book, he says, the things you have learnt of me, among many witnesses, you can say, commit unto deacons, who shall be able to teach others. Commit unto deacons, or faithful men. These faithful men will be those who are serving, that he had already told you their requirements, already in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Because one of the things he says about them, he says in verse 9, behold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. In verse 10, let also this be proved, that this is a proven stage. Let them use the office of the deacon, being found, be found blameless. In verse 13, say that they have used the office of the deacon well, purchased to themselves a good degree, and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So, but verse 9, verse 10, and verse 13, he shows that there are seven men also in the church who will be proven to be faithful. By the time you get to chapter 2, the second book is chapter 2, verse 2, he says, this man who you have seen faithful, faithful where? They have held the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. In verse 10, you see that they are proven well, and they have been found blameless. In verse 13, they have used it well, and purchased for them a good degree of the boldness of the faith which is found in Christ Jesus. So, the deacon therefore will be that brother, that sister in the church, who is being proven, alright, to see whether he can serve. Because the first thing you need to realize is that ministry is service. Ministry is not taking pictures. Ministry is not sitting in front. Ministry is not standing before people. Ministry is not the kind of car you drive. Who waits on you? Who is your protocol? Ministry is not who is the governor that calls your name. Ministry is not how many people listen to your teaching. Ministry is not how popular are you. How many downloads you have on your website. That's not ministry. Ministry is service. That is why you compromise it the minute you do it for show. The minute it becomes something you do for show, see, the moment it is not the pure and singular devotion to Christ, it becomes something you want to take pictures over and share it on Facebook, share on Twitter, share everywhere. If that becomes the reason why you are serving, you are no longer serving that one person, you are serving yourself. Ministry is not, I want a position. Ministry is not, I want to become something. Ministry is not title. Ministry is not where you sit, where you don't sit. Ministry is not age. Ministry is not acquisition. It's service. So in verse 28 of Matthew 20, it says, for the Son of Man has not come to be ministered to, but to be a minister, or to minister. Now, Koneo, the same word. And give himself a ransom, a lutros, for many. So, ministry is not acquisition of things. Ministry is not, fame. Ministry is not limelight. No? No? Ministry is not all those things. The moment you start to do anything for self, it has shifted from ministry. And the danger there is this. Because ministry is about men. And men are given to praise and worship of whatever they are not doing. You have to be very careful. If people are not fine, if they are not beautiful, they clap for someone that is beautiful. If they are not handsome, they clap for someone that is handsome. If they are not wealthy, they clap for someone that is also wealthy. If they are not brilliant, they applaud the person that is brilliant. If they are short, they clap for them that is tall. if they are fast runners or slow runners, they clap for the person who runs fast. I mean, if you are in school, you say, the best student is so and so. You clap for the person. You know, that's just human nature. We celebrate what we don't have. So the moment you now are the person standing before people, you are the one preaching, you are the ones listening, you are the ones laying hands and the ones receiving it. There is a tendency that you start thinking that what they now expect of you and what they applaud you for is the ministry. No? No? That is why it's the sage Kenneth E. Hagin left us with very precious words. He said, you must be dead both to the censure and the praises of men. Both. The man David Yonggi Cho, Paul Yonggi Cho, said, the praise of men are like chewing gum. Chew it, but never swallow it. So, the moment you do it for pictures, video, audio, you are compromising it itself. Never should be. Never should be. If you look at the Matthew 6 narrative, Jesus says, look, don't be like those people who pray loud so that people can know they are praying. Or guys, when they are fasting, you see it all over their faces. He said, when they do, or who love greeting on the street, he said, they have their reward. Their reward, they already have it. How fickle should you walk? You walk, and you walk. So, okay, what are you walking for? Who should clap for you? To write you a Facebook greeting. Oh! Man of God, I've never been this touched by anybody in my life. You know, every time I'm doing birthday or anything, I often know that there's a riot in the minds of some people. And I laugh at them. They are kids. If people's greetings on Facebook calling you the bestest pastor in the world, the most unique man of God since Paul. If they say those things and then you are feeling insecure, I say it means that you are fickle. People are just excited. And when people are excited, they can say anything. When they are crying, when they are shouting, when they are happy, they can say anything. They can say, even Jesus. You know what people are excited? They can say anything. When people are watching football and they lose, they can get angry. When they win, they can say anything. When people are getting married, I say, what do you think about your husband? You say, look, God has never made anybody this perfect before. There's no human being. And then 2 years down the line, they're saying, marriage is not about perfect men. So, in the heat of excitement, people can say anything. Anything. When they buy a brand new car, you just lose their head. So, just when they are praising anybody, don't take it seriously. People can praise somebody on Monday, on Tuesday, they will curse him. Check Jesus. In fact, when they were saying, oh, they wanted to cry, if they don't cry, the rocks will cry out. And they was screaming, blessed is he that comes with the Lord. And in the same place, a few days after, hours precisely, they said, crucify him. What was the difference? They heard something else about what they had heard. So that means they are moved by what they heard. The head is so and so. They praised him. The head is a wine barber. He's a persecutor. He's a blasphemer. He's a terrible guy. He's an heretic. They just switched. If they can do that to your Lord, be smart. So, you must be dead. Now, of course, when I was to the praise of men, when I was a younger preacher, those things used to inspire me. There's nothing wrong because, sincerely, encouragement helps all of us. This will inspire me a lot. And so I say, look, oh my God, my ministry. One that amazed me was once Bible school we once had. We had this Bible school, remember Bible school, 1995. And this sister wrote like four big notebooks, wrote her life there. The word of God was all there. A man came, Reverend Mike Ibito, is that Apostle Mike Ibito, he came and saw the notes. He passed us a winning life ministry in South Africa. He saw, me and Brother Dan even saw him in Kenya. Is it Kenya? Yes, recently. So, he saw the notes. Man of God! And his sister was proud. Pastor, you know. It was that year, out of offense, she bought the note. She bought it. All the word of God bought in her fire. That's it. She bought it. I regret knowing this ministry. In the same year, the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. In the same year, not another year, I regret knowing this ministry. Oh, I wish I didn't come in contact with this ministry. You say, and you look at yourself, you're not an Ifa priest, though. You know, you do it, you go. So be it. But you know what? Now, 2019, the same person is now giving praise on Facebook.
That's how life is.
That's how life is.
So, but throughout that period, what were you learning? You were learning to have single focus. That's what you were learning. Learning to keep your eyes single. So your body full of light. That's what you were learning. So those things, see, commitment, consecration, discipline can never be sweet and chewing gum. It will come hard. It's always contrary circumstances that make you stronger. Nothing trains a man in Christ like contrary winds. That is where your conviction is birthed. In the hardness of life, in the vagaries, in your expectations not being met, in the negative things that you didn't expect. It's in those periods that you really know where you stand and what stands with you. So you have to have that at the back of your mind. That's it. So Jesus says, look, what are you guys crying for? What are you looking for? You are looking for somebody who sits on the right and left. Because at that point, the disciples were looking at glory. They are looking at somebody that will sit in TBN, that will sit in Daystar, that's television now, that will sit in KLA. They will say, I want to introduce, the guy's talking in an audience of 1 million, I want to introduce my associates, those who are the faithful, and he mentions their name, Pastor Larry Alonge, and he stands up like he's humble. You know, he says, Sister Tonya Adigwe, she's an anointed, she says, you know, but then, as they are doing their humble, then you forget to mention Tunde Ogunipe. You just say, and all of that, sorry, I don't have time. They feel like, Then their minds, they're wondering, why does he give Pastor Lan the first of camp meeting? You know, see, what is, why is he the person? Why is he the one in New York? What is the issue? They have lost their salvation. Is that an issue? How is that? Were you doing it for photos? Were you doing it for men? That's where it will get to you. So, he says, look, are you even ready to be baptized with my baptism? You might say, what's baptism? It's not water. You know, to come out and say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's all now. He said, we are ready. He said, I have not come to be ministered to, but to minister. And give himself a ransom for many. So, the term worker is an abnormality. Every Christian has been called by God to work. For the moment you are in this discipleship, you must emulate Christ. Christ is a worker. He's also a son. He's a son, but what proved his sonship? Was his service. Imagine Christ didn't die. He's still on earth. He will have become president of many nations. Married many wives eventually. Because when you stay out of God's will long enough, you do things you never thought you would ever do. Somebody once told me, and we sat down, me and my friends, years ago, and we calculated, I will tell you, how long it takes you to stay out of God's will and survive. We looked at scripture and people's lives. I will tell you the time. Lest you start to test run it. And thou shalt test run it, and thou shalt say, Pastor, I think you are wrong, because I'm now in hellfire. I'm on it. You know, what I'm trying to say is, you can't stay long and survive it. So a man should know his priorities. Your priority is not be your name be there. Your priority is not be your feeling in front. That's not your priority. Not at any time. So the student is the one that is learning what Christ did to reproduce it. He said, I'm a servant and I give myself to serve. Dolos Daconia. Matthew 20, 27 and 28. And we saw something in Luke 10. People were following him. They were going for workers' convention. They were going for camp meeting. Going for WCC. Going for Believers Convention, Workers Congress. After every service, they were behind for workers meeting. And they were doing that every day. So, on a particular day, Jesus now goes to their house, the house of Mary and Martha. Precisely, Martha must be the hostess, because it must be her house, being the elder sister.
And then they went to her house in verse 38, Luke 10. And then she had a sister called Mary, Martha now, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. I told you what the word sat at the feet. Sat at the feet doesn't mean to sit diametrically or what you say geographically beside somebody or at the person's leg. No. Sat at his feet is a phrase that carries an idiom that carries much meaning. Acts 22 verse 3. Paul says, I learned at the feet of Gamaliel. It means under control, under subjection. For example, if you enroll into maybe a school of fashion, fashion designing, what is it called now? Tailoring. Well, that qualifies, is there another name for it? Beauty. Is there a name for it again? I think they call it something agent, something, you know, but you're a tailor. So, you are now with someone. What you have done is that you are training, you have been trained and learning from someone. You submit yourself to the person and pay attention to the person, and then you are in subjection to the person. So when you hear at the feet of Jesus, it simply meant that Mary was found among the 12, or say among the 70. Now pay attention to this one. Which means that she was learning from Christ. Then there was Martha, the elder sister, who was verse 40, cumbered about much serving. She's in pastor's protocol, where they belabor the art of making pastor comfortable. They get him food, they get him spirit, they get him soul and body. They get the pastor what to wear, what not to wear. And if he's not careful, they give him a woman to marry. They will get him everything. And they are busy. You think, these people are trying. And they are doing everything, getting the pastor food. And when others are praying, they are not praying. When others are going for evangelism, they are doing pastor's angels. When others are fasting, they are eating the leftover food. When others are ministering the things of the Spirit, they are watching the pastor, lest at any time the devil should get after him. Now, you find those people so active. If they are not in the pastor's protocol, they can be in the security department. While men are giving some interpretation, they are looking at who is taking phones. While others are laying hands on the sick, they are laying hands on missing items, security. They can also be in the music department. Who is rehearsing? You are teaching, but they are going to sing after you. Rehearsing under our breath. How she will go sing that song? It will be attractive enough. Say, oh. You know, people are writing scriptures. She's writing voice notes. He's writing voice notes and all that. And very active. And the person sings in every service. Could be somebody in the children's church. Caring for kids. Always there. Caring kids who are crying. Don't worry. Jesus loves you. Yes, I know. For the Bible tells you so. Not him. He. They'll be so busy than the works department. Oh, the letter of God. Okay, I'll stay with the generator while you are praying. Very busy. They could be at the technical side. They're monitoring the sound. They say, oh, people are speaking in tongues. They are hearing it in the sound, but they are particular about the modulation is a little bit low. He doesn't speak in tongues, but he's recording the tongues. I mean, different people, and they are all encumbered with much serving. And then, somewhere along the line, offense setting. Because if there's anywhere you can get in the flesh, is when you are no longer listening to the word. Everybody listens to the word. And you know, because they were at the feet of Jesus, Jesus was talking, they were listening. But this Martha was in the kitchen. I want to believe that many things would have happened in our minds. Serving and wondering. Jesus is spoiling Mary. What kind of thing is this? If I don't serve the food, would they all go hungry? If nobody is at the security, would they not steal all of us? If I am not at the pastor's protocol, how will the grace of God rest upon him? And they are angry. She's just angry.
somewhere. Yet, she's in church. Yet, she's where the Lord is. Yet, she's in that. That is why sometimes you wonder, but that brother was really dedicated, oh. And that sister was, tomorrow I'm going to show you the difference between faithfulness and diligence. They are two different things. Diligence, always there at the prayer group meetings. Always there. Always there. The person's writing attendance, doing everything. And there at this meeting, there at that meeting, always there. At each point in time. Very active. You know, what that happened? What happened to that sister? I used to think it was a mystery in those days. But these are signs of the last days. This very dead. You even see people that they were persecuted. Persecuted. I remember a sister that we used to almost joke about the lacerations on her body because of persecution. Lacerations. Man, I used to say, you are the one that should quote the scripture. I bear in my body the marks of Jesus. But then there will be this turnaround. All of a sudden, the sister now attended Umrah in Saudi Arabia. And also, what's the other one? Hajj. Now put gold tooth to show you the signs that follow me. But the point is, sometimes people are only activity conscious. Activity conscious. The stream that sustains the activity is not there. So, you will find two scenarios painted in Luke 10. The first one, service without sitting down. Service. I know people, they'll say, I've been to this church, I've been to that church, and they'll tell you that their CV is so rich. June 12, 1999 to May 10, 2000. House of God Mission International. Assistant pastor. Then they'll stay off for some time, 6 months, claiming to hear from God. By November, you find them in Deliverance of the Believer Incorporated Apostolic Mission. And they will be head usher. By 2003, they are off again. They start a ministry. Missile of Christ. Global Apostolic Commission. Then, you say about the Missile of Christ. But I also found you in Zomo Apostolic Church. Yes, I was there just to have a local church, but I had another ministry. You are just a busybody. At the end of the day, and you will have given their all, give money, give car, give everything. And also, what actually were you learning? Nothing, but just taking notes of events. Activity, not sitting down. Such men will breed strife, bitterness easily. Because they have lost the primary reason why service is valuable. Learning. Interestingly, you can also have those who will pretend that they are learning, but they are not serving. How can you be learning from Christ and you're not serving? So I say, sir, the last few months that I started listening to you, I've just been growing spiritually. And I said, you are growing. He says, sir, I've been growing spiritually. In fact, sir, you are a blessing to the body. I've been really growing, sir. In fact, I no longer drink oil. Even if angel oil, anointing oil. I no longer eat salt. I don't go for deliverance. I am not pursuing generational curses. I don't pay tithes. I'm not even tithed. I don't give false fruit again. I don't even wear scarf to church. I now open my hair, whether it's wave on or otherwise. That is a trick of speech. I have this liberty now in Christ. I no longer say to fear. I am a child. I now sing new song. So that's growth. Yes, sir. I'm growing. Really growing. You are not sitting. You are not sitting at his feet. You are counting his fingers. How can you learn of Christ and you are not serving? I said to the young man, I said, you are not learning from me. Obviously, you selected what you want to hear. Law in Genesis. Investigating the wrath of God, beyond superstition. So, great salvation. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You are even expecting till 10. Oh, I'm learning the word. Okay, what about simply devoted? What about wasted life? Wasted life in Christ Jesus? What about being to last? WCC. I thought it's women's conference. See your life. You ran from sitting at his feet. You are admiring the fingers. Oh God, you are not growing. You actually go anyway. So you have those who are active but not sitting. And you have those who claim to be sitting, taking notes in every meeting, getting the tapes, getting the teachings, yet the proof of it is not found. So, you have to make up your mind not to be either of the two. One who is merely sitting, not serving, or one who is serving, but not sitting. So therefore Jesus says to them, in verse 41, Master, Master, thou art careful and troubled about many things. One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the good part, shall not be taken away from her. Clear enough. So this evening, I just want to share with us briefly. I call it the oil of service. What did I say? The oil. The oil of service. The oil. Knowing now that there can't be growth without service. And there can't be service without growth. Growth in the word, learning the word, is proof that, or the proof of it is that you are serving. Because the word of God is a servant. God's word is a servant. God's mind is to serve. God's grace is service. So if you are growing in the word, you are growing in service. So I want to look at the oil of service. One of the prophecies about Christ. We have just read Matthew 20, 27 and 28. The Son of Man has not come to 28 to serve, but to serve, to give himself ransom to others. He that will be the greatest among you must be the one that serves, will be the least, the one who gives himself, the one who labors, serves others. But in Hebrews chapter 1, the writer of Hebrews presents for us the prophetic picture of Christ. That means the authority of Christ today is in his service. So the writer of Hebrews presents a prophetic picture of Christ, or like I like to say, I don't like the word prophetic too much. A picture of Christ in prophecy. And he says, having said about him in Hebrews 1:3, if I Hebrews 1:1, God who has sought in time past manners, in time past, has spoken to our fathers by the prophets, but in this last days has spoken to us in his Son. He says, by whom we made the worlds, who is the heir of all things, appointed to the heir of all things, by whom we made also the worlds. Then he says, who being the belly of the glory, the excellence of his person. I mean, then he says that upon nothing by the one of the power where he had by himself, purged our sins and sat at the right of the on high. And it says in verse 3 is the word of God. There are three: the revelation of God, the Son has served us, the Son took upon himself our sinfulness. In verse 4, being made more better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Why did he make that distinction? Because angels are also known to serve, to take on themselves other people's responsibilities. He said, but this one is not like angels. His ministry is different. Then he says, now to which of the angels said he at any time that my son has begotten thee? So he said, no, there's nobody like that among the angels. He says, the prince of God in the world, he said, yes, worship him. Verse 6, verse 7. Who makes the angels priests? And he says, his ministers is a flame of fire. So he makes that distinction. But unto the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, the kingdom of righteousness. Then in verse 9, where we are going, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, thy God, even thy God, as he says, anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, watch what he's saying. In the resurrection, he says that in the death of Christ and his service, he says, one, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The throne is his because he's a servant. Then he says, the scepter of thy kingdom is the scepter of righteousness. Verse 9, because you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness or righteousness, therefore God, thy God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above all thy fellows. So we have found the oil of the service of Christ. The word oil there is the word elaion. E-L-A-I-O-N in the Greek. Elaion. It's taken from the word olive oil. Elia. E-L-A-I-A. In the parables of Jesus, in Matthew 25, verse 3, 4, and 8, if you are aware of the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish, recall that the absence of the oil was why the fire went out. So the oil is a preservative. Preserves the fire in that instance. Matthew 25, I just quoted that. Verse 3, verse 4, and verse 8. Also in Mark 6:13, when the apostles, the 12, the disciples, cast out devils and anointed many that were sick and healed them. Again, it's used for healing. Preservative. Restorative. Then, in Luke's Gospel 7:46 is used for the woman, the prostitute, who showed Jesus honor. What's the honor? By anointing, Jesus says, him repeatedly. However, in Luke 10:34, the Bible of the Samaritan, when the wounds were bounded together, they poured oil as healing and restoration. In Luke 16:62 in the parable. In James 5:14, it says, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. It says the prayer of faith will save the sick. So it's used again for healing. So somewhere we have seen more frequently the word elion is used for preservative, restorative, healing oil. So two things comes out of it. Is used in festivals, is used in preservation. So if he says, you have anointed him with the oil of gladness, Hebrews 1:9. The word gladness, therefore, will describe Christ's work. Because that is the anointing of it. The work, therefore, is characterized by the gladness. Preserved, honored, celebrated with the gladness. The word is the Greek word agaliasis. Agaliasis is spelled A-G-A-L-L-I-A-S-I-S. A-G-A-L-L-I-A-S-I-S. Is used for exuberant joy. Joy that is exuberant. Joy that is expressive. So he says, in this sacrifice of Jesus, the oil of that service is gladness. The oil of that work is gladness. You see, or call it exuberant joy. You see that phrase in Luke 1:14 and Luke 1:44 is used for an expression. Overt expression is an actual exuberant, bubbling, expressive joy. In Luke 2:46, it's used to describe the church. You know, there's a Luke 24:52 where they return to Jerusalem with great joy. Now in Acts 2:42, they continue steadfastly the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and prayers and breaking of bread. Then he says in 46, they also fellowshiped in gladness. Gladness. In other words, there was a uniqueness to the church. There was, you can call it excitement in the natural by definition, but really it's an exuberant joy. One key thing about the church born by the Spirit is that there's an expressive joy. Now don't forget, the background of verse 46 of Acts 2 was that they were giving. People were bringing, selling their things, giving to believers, ensuring that believers' needs were met. And they did it with gladness. They were doing it with excitement, call it that. They were doing it with exuberance in joy. Acts 2:46. Jude 24. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to keep you blameless, preserve you, and present you with joy. Agaliasis. Excitement. Christ's service to the Father is to present you and I. How again? With joy. Or using the writer of the Hebrews, quoting from the prophets of old. Precisely. That's Hebrews 1, verse 8 now and 9. Is precisely quoting Psalm 45, verse 6 and 7. So, exuberant joy. Now that word is from the word agalio. A word that Jesus uses in Matthew 5:14. In case you want to see that, in Matthew 5 and 14, he says, look, 12:13, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why? Great is your reward. When men persecute you, Jesus says, you know what? Be excited. Express it exuberantly. Strange. Same thing in Luke 1:47. Precisely Luke 10:21, we're going to get back there. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced. You know, agaliasis will be the noun. Agalio is the verb. Where he leaps, he twirls around, and he runs. That hour. In John 8:56, he says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. In John 5:35, talking about John the Baptist, he says, you were willing to rejoice in his light. So it's an express release of joy. In Acts 2:26, Peter teaching about Christ's sufferings. Acts 2:26. He says, therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. He's talking about what Jesus did in the 3 days and three nights. He said, because he was serving, we saw the oil of agaliasis, in the sense that he was found in the Hades, not crying, even though it was painful, not regretting, even though it wasn't convenient. He said, he was exuberant in joy. We'll come back to that later. In Acts 16:34, the jailer in the Philippian jailer, he says, as he heard the gospel himself and his house, and believed the things that Paul and Silas said to them, they rejoiced. In other words, they saw the joy of salvation and expressed it. In 1 Peter 1:6, Peter puts it like this, about the life of the believer. First Peter 1 and 6. He says, when you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. He describes the joy in verse 8. Whom, that's Jesus Christ, having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believe in verse 8, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. In chapter 4, verse 13 of 1 Peter, he says, talking about how, in verse 12, beloved, seek him not strengthening concerning the severity trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. He says, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. Thus, when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad. Then he says, with what? Exceeding joy. So he paints your joy as his joy. The prophet has said, in his service, he is anointed. He is honored in his service. He is preserved, as it were. Service is preserved, as it were, with the oil of gladness. Then, Hebrews 12 verse 2. The writer of Hebrews uses another different word here. Hebrews 12 verse 2. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him. This is the word chara. C-H-A-R-A. It means source of joy. Delightsome. The joy that was set before him. A phrase used 59 times in the New Testament Greek. You see it also in John 16, 20, verse 20. Your sorrows have been turned to joy. That's it. The reason why you were sorrowful was I was dead. It will now be turned to the reason for your joy. The world will wonder why you are happy, but it is because this joy no man can take from you. In Matthew 2:10, at the arrival of Christ, that joy was seen among angels. So, we have seen therefore that a characteristic of the work of Christ, whether from the incarnation to the birth, to the death and in his resurrection, is joy. Yes, everything is called a service to us. Matthew 20:28. But then, he says, it is characterized, distinguished in joy. Look at a quick parable, a quick dash at the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower is found in Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8. But I'm going to zero in on the Matthew 13 example, or rendering. Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. In the parable of the sower, he has four soils. The first soil, from verse 3 to verse 9, the first soil was what? Was one that was by the wayside. The second soil, verse 5, is on the stony places. The first soil, third soil, verse 6, is where the sun scorched it. The seventh soil is verse 6 and 7, the same one. Verse 8, the fourth soil, is in the good ground. So Jesus now makes a clarity of what he was saying. He explained to them that in verse 19, the one you saw fell by the wayside is the one that when the word of God is sown, people don't understand it. Now, of course, this applies to the gospel heard by non-believers at this point, but then let's apply it to ourselves. It means that when you don't understand something, it doesn't last. It says, because they understand it not. It says, the wicked one, that's the devil, catches away what was sown in their heart. If there's any place the devil, now of course, what does the devil do the most? He accuses. He condemns. He brings doubt, fear to the man who has believed the gospel. So what it means is that all that will crowd the mind of a man because he has not understood it. So lack of understanding is a doorway to
to Satan. A believer is having a tough time because of his faith. He doesn't understand it. He's thinking that, well, it shouldn't be like that. I'm a child of God. I'm so and so and so. So he gets things mixed up because he lacks understanding. It's very likely that he acts like this man. The second soil, he says, this is where we're, this is the one I'm zeroing on. He says this one in verse 20. In stony places, he hears the word and he says, immediately with joy, he receives it. He says this one immediately with joy. The word immediate is the word euthuos in the Greek. E-U-T-H-E-O-S. It means just at the same time. Now, there's nothing wrong in joy when you hear. But the point that was raised there in verse 21 is there was no root. So, when tribulations, persecution arises because of the word, it takes offense. You know, we have read joy so far that true faith expresses joy in tribulation. But why then is this guy offended? Because he has not believed. So he's excited, but it is not the true joy. He's excited. He loves what he's hearing, even though he's likely to have heard the wrong thing. It's merely passing through an excitement stage. And so, we need to separate the joy we refer to. It's not a joy birthed by circumstance. It's not a joy birthed by excitement. What I like, what I love, rather is a joy birth by what I believe. So, it brings in a wrong reason to rejoice. That means I can build my joy on the wrong reasons. Excitement, immediate pleasure, or your expectation was dashed, which is this instance. Like I often love to say, many times, when you meet people who claim to be atheists, I met a couple of them last few weeks, and I think that they're just joking. One of them told me, I'm now an atheist. I said, why are you an atheist? He said, well, last few years, I've had to investigate some things, and all that and all that. He said, the story was very long. I said, hold on, young man. I said, how many years did you say you are studying? He mentioned a number of years. I said, what did you study in school? He told me. I said, how many years did you study? He said, 5 years. I said, did you score first class? He said, no. 2-1? No. You scored 2-2. And for something you read for 5 years, you scored 2-2. Now, you have done a mere investigation for less than how many years, and you think I should give you a PhD? I said, you're not a serious-minded person. Keep searching. Do it for a longer time. Maybe next 40 years. Keep finding out whether there is no God. You lose your mind in the process. You're not a serious-minded person. I said, there are those who are professors. Professors who are emeritus. In the things you have claimed to believe. And they are not believers. So what glory are you giving yourself? You just went on Google. Type something. There is no God. You saw articles. Twitter. So you think you are an expert. On something that you can't even compare with how you got a degree. You're not as smart as you think you are. But you see, it's common that people actually hold God responsible for what he never promised. Many of us, in our Christian walk, we built it on false joy. False joy. They tell you, and there are miracle meetings all over the body of Christ, enough to sustain that narrative. Near miracle syndrome night. Generational curses breaking night. The people will not come up before the church and tell you how for the past 8 years they've been looking for a job, but when they met the man of God, he spoke into their lives, now they give out jobs. So you build your expectations. Things Jesus never said.
But the man of God said, you built your hopes. So you were serving faithfully, cleaning the chair. Bro, John is very humble. You knew in your heart that your humility is to get a job. You were serving faithfully. Even your utterances showed it. And I see you step outside of that realm. And I see you, you claim that thing. That thing is yours. You may be afraid now, but it's your own. Even your utterances are showing your own expectation. By the time you interpret your expectation, the prophecy is actually for you. It shows in you see believers. A boy brings out a ring for her. And then she's crying and shouting. And she's so happy. Because the prophecy she was given last month was, this is your season. Somebody gets out and says, I got born again there. So, oh, good. She doesn't cry. She doesn't scream. But a ring, she's bound forever. And then she's screaming. So you can see that their expectations were built into the faith. Self-made expectations. People are now disappointed. Not in God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, but the God they were told of. And none with joy. It says, when persecutions and tribulations arises for the word's sake, immediately they take offense. Immediately they take offense. Ah, brother, why don't we see you again? I don't want to discuss it. What happened? Sack letter. Query. Looking for children. Hasn't found. Or something out of the world. Something they just say, I didn't expect that to happen, you know, and all that. How would me, a child of God, I've been pursuing that business in that place. I was there last year. They didn't give me. The year before, they didn't give me. And all that. Just let me just take some time. And just find, is that what I'm doing wrong? Oh, Lord. He doesn't come to church. He thinks, what is the essence? Why should I come if at the end of the day, there's no money in my pocket? There's a song by Pastor Paul that is for brilliant like that. He said, is there something wrong with you, brother? You never come along anymore. No request, so many calls, or no response. Jesus said to the person, he's the same. God make us one as we are one. Come. Let's worship together. Come. Let us praise the Lord. It's a song for those who don't come to church. You go to the house and sing it for them. Say, oh, I really feel loved. And then they come back to church. See your head. That's expectations. The unfortunate thing is you will not see another brother down the road. The brother doesn't go to your church. He doesn't listen to the word. In fact, he picks some Mickey Mouse confessions from scripture. He takes Psalm 23 verse 1, leaves verse 2 and 3 out, and leaves joins in verse 6, and then it's for him. He's the Christ, he's the shepherd, he's the one the scripture is for. He claims it, he doesn't pray in tongues, but then he's loaded. He's a loaded guy. He's endowed with money and all that. You look at this, I'm talking about, there's something wrong in this church! And then he walks away. He's discouraged. And none with joy is excited. He's short-lived because there's no root in what he's doing. The question I want to ask believers tonight, which I'll ask more tomorrow, is there anything that can limit your commitment to Christ? Anything? You have to someday think about it and ask the question. You know, you can say there's nothing. Nothing! There is no one who can face you. That's a song. I'm asking you a question. Is there something that you perceive somewhere can stand in your way? Let's even go further. In Luke 10, this is the more intriguing one. Jesus himself sends out 12 in Luke 9 verse 1 and 2, and then another 70 in Luke's Gospel 10 verse 1. He sends them to go and preach. They now come back. You thought they brought good news. They came back with joy, verse 17, the Greek word chara. They came back with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through your name. Then he looked at them and said, be Satan, as lightning fall from heaven. Did you not see? Behold, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, verse 19, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That, look, I know what I gave you. Notwithstanding, in these rejoice not that the demons are subject to you. That is, I gave you the authority, but in this rejoice not. I mean, that is something we need to practice consciously. It says, now it's not saying for the recipient of the miracles not to receive, not to be rejoicing. No. I mean, people, if you people are healed, you can't say, if you somebody is blind, so if you do it, sir, what's with this man? Oh, maybe you use me to go and do something, just because how can I? My leg is to pain me. It's not pain. If you rejoice, you don't rejoice God. Should I cry? I mean, no. The recipients can be happy. But it says, you rejoice not. You will not find Jesus rejoicing because of miracles. Rejoice not. Now, I can rejoice with the guy who is healed to make him happy, to encourage him. But it says, in this, rejoice not. Rather, the same word, chariot, rejoice because you are born again. Names are written in heaven. The same Greek word, chariot, which means, is not... You can go, glory, glory. You know, what some people have learned from people like us, they watch our videos. I know some guys, they just watch our videos. They now do their ministry, say, hold yourselves, speak to yourself. There's something inside of you. Come out. It's going to come out now. They think it's just like that. No, bro. No, sis. We labor in prayer. We labor days, nights. We don't just hold a hand like Mickey Mouse. We labor, and people are taught to say, hold your person's hand and just speak to him. Speak to him. Say, glory! Woo! Woo! Don't be fooled. He says, rejoice not in this one. Do you know why they are rejoicing? Glory! 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 Woo! 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 I never want to sound like that. You know, Boma was from 1995. Lautech. Myself and my friend, we had this meeting, finest hour of the church. Taught well. And we now took our sacrifice beyond the mosque. After we were done, then because we had done so much of word of knowledge, just say, they had exams. Say, come and know what will come out. Now, in the Holy Ghost, people were rejoicing. I taught on mix it up. I won't tell you that is mix it up. And people rejoice. We had, in fact, they carry people in the car home. It was in that meeting, people started, after we had got the experience of healing and we were not satisfied. People started coming up to say they saw 200 naira in their pocket. They saw, you know, and the other guy, I saw all that. I said, and then it was in the meeting I preached. So I told myself, I've stepped up. Now I'm not just healing the sick, I'm also healing bank accounts. You know, bank accounts healed in Jesus' name. You know, and nonsense like that. So we are taking our sacrifice beyond the mosque. People started coming and give them word of knowledge about the exam questions. Exam questions. What are you saying? Say, physics 104. Now, I didn't have such word because I wasn't studying physics. But they had it. So you can see the prophetic nonsense we were doing. I couldn't bring that to anybody because it's a London Capital University of Technology. So I had no, concerning that, I had no utterance. But they were in the science department, so they had utterances, they could guess, they'll ask you about, there's something about atom that they're going to ask you. As they were saying those things, yeah, glory, the same glory we saw the night before, glory! Woo! And I think majority failed. Those who passed were those who did not come. But that's not the issue. The issue is they rejoice. That's the issue. So when you say, glory, 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 if you see the same set of people in wedding parties, it even has a greater glory. When some people spoil body, they won't just carry body, they will throw body. And you see them in church. This is the same thing you are doing. So, it is the reason. Rejoice not. Rejoice because you are born again. That's what Jesus says. It's an instruction. The oil of service is joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not a Holy Ghost meeting demonstration alone. It's the oil of service. The oil of service is the oil of gladness. In Philippians 4:1, and it is known by the reason for it. Philippians 4:1. Paul, he said, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy and crown. Stand fast in the Lord. He says, dearly beloved. He said, my joy. He refers to them, my joy and my crown. That's what he calls these guys. In 2 Corinthians 1:14, there's something very intriguing about that. Let me just run that quickly, because of our time. In 1 Corinthians, okay, 2 Corinthians 1, let me just read the text for you first. Verse 14. You also have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as you are ours in the day of the Lord. Now, it uses the word kachuma in the Greek. K-A-U-C-H-E-M-A, used for boasting. K-A-U-C-H-E-M-A. A word that he used to rebuke, he rebuked, in 1 Corinthians 5:6. They were boasting about a brother having his father's wife and still flowing the gifts of the Spirit. He said it's a terrible glorying. In 1 Corinthians 9:15, he said, look, if I glory in this service, he said, my glory is void. That is, glorying in vain things. But, and verse 16. Interestingly, in 2 Corinthians 1:14, he uses that word, boasting. He uses it positively. He says, you are our boast. We are your own. In chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verse 12, he says, again, that you give occasion to glory on our behalf. Then again, in chapter 9, verse 3, I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain. In Galatians 6 and 4, Galatians 6 and 4, Paul, he says, let every man prove his own work, and when he shall have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another, boasting in his work of love. Philippians 1:26. He says, that our rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Philippians 2:16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. That is to boast. To make a boast. What is this? In Philippians 4:1, he calls it the source of joy. Men and the fruit of the work of salvation. And all the texts we have read so far, the same. In other words, Paul is saying, true joy must be built on salvation. Either yours or another one. Either yours or another one. The joy of salvation, coming with it, the joy of walking in salvation. True joy. And that is the oil of Jesus' service. Tomorrow we'll look at reward. But he says, what keeps my service going, the excitement of my service, the excitement of my labor, that I'm born again. And the excitement of my labor, another is born again. And walking in it. That is the boasting of my labor. Now, I'm going to say something that requires you to not quote it wrongly. I trust you don't quote me wrongly. This is why it might be difficult, not impossible, to experience this joy if you are a church staff. And they are paying you for singing, paying you for serving, paying you for playing keyboard, paying you for sending emails to disciples, paying you for closing and opening church doors. Nothing wrong in it. I mean, if that could just keep you out of unemployment and, you know, use your skills. But you see, the joy of it is that there is no monetary value to it. That's why it might be very difficult. Where you have to lay your hands. Somebody is coming back to you. Whether you're a church staff or you're a paid pastor, you must never see your joy in that, oh, pastor's appreciation. They thank me for pastoring them, or they send me a lot. I get a lot every Sunday. No. You are building your ministry and your service on vanity. On vanity. The oil of service. Pray for me, close. The oil of service is joy. True joy. I taught something 2 Sundays ago. True joy. Make sure you listen to it. I taught another one earlier on. In fact, somebody wrote me today on Facebook, I think yesterday on Facebook, and said he had lost his ministry, lost his, until he listened to that teaching. He said, sir, within a week, a lot of the relationships, particularly family, that he said they had lost were restored. He said, because you said something that I had missed for over 25 years. True joy. I had replaced that joy with the joy in relationships, the joy in acceptance, the joy in things. The moment they were not present, I felt something was wrong. He said, but when I heard it, you reminded me of my days of a traveling minister across secondary schools. And I said, I'm going back there. He said to me, whether they allow me or not, I will keep at it. The joy that I'm doing it is good enough. He said, thank you, sir, for that teaching. You see, listen to that teaching. True joy. The joy of why you workers' convention. Why would you come back in the morning, 4 a.m. to pray? Why would you sit throughout tomorrow? Because you love this to serve. There's joy. Unspeakable. It's not because there's AC. It's not because it's convenient. It's not because the schedule is good for you. It's not because anything vain. It's not because you have many people doing it. What if they don't do it? It's because of the joy. The same joy that is found in Jesus Christ. So he says, rejoice not at this. Rejoice that you are born again. Rejoice that you have become a partaker of Christ's glory and his sufferings. Rejoice that when they are persecuting you, you say, I'm glad. This is the Christ life. This is the proof of the joy that I have. It's a joy unspeakable, full of glory. Romans 14, let's close on that. Paul, in verse 17, having spoken about the issue of the brother who is being despised because of meat and drink, and so all sort of, you know, not doctrinal, belief systems, I shouldn't eat meat, I should eat meat, and all that. Then he says in verse 17, for the kingdom of God, Romans 14, is not meat and drink, but righteousness, diakosune, which he says is by faith. In Romans 5:1, being justified by faith, we happen to go through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 4:25. Was raised up, delivered for our faith, of our justification. Romans 5:17. We have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. He says, righteousness, peace, which is with God. Romans 5:1.
Dakosune earing or earrings and joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Chora is his joy. Then he says something in verse 18. And we close on that. He that in these things righteousness by faith, peace with God, and the joy no man, no marriage, no sexual experience, giving birth to children, being named a prime minister, having money, seeing miracles, cannot give. He had mentioned that joy in Romans 5 and verse 2. He says, for whom we have access by faith to his grace, where we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that the tribulation works patience. So he says, if you serve God in these things, die alone, be alone, you serve God in these things. He says in verse 18, writer, Paul, Romans 14, verse 18, he that served God in these things is served Christ is acceptable to God. Remember Romans 12, 1? I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. The same word here, hieristos, something well pleasing to God, holy and acceptable. So this is your reasonable service. In verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you will prove that which is the good, perfect, and acceptable, same word, hieristos, will of God. So he says, the person who serves Christ is an approved man, dokimos anthropinos, that is, anthropos. A man approved. The same thing Paul said to Timothy. A workman that need not be ashamed. Right, divine the word of truth. First Peter said, approved of God. That is, this is what God approves. The moment I'm serving, I'm grumbling. I'm serving, I'm unhappy. I'm striving. I have bitterness. And I am offended. He says it's not acceptable with God. Is the man who serves Christ in righteousness through faith, not of works, peace with God, and joy in the Holy Ghost. This is what God commends. So if I'm like Martha, running all over the place, or Mary, just sitting down, I'm not serving full of joy. I have wasted my efforts. I've wasted it. Tomorrow we'll see a few of these things that will take away joy. Vainglory, strife, bitterness. Things you must ward off. The oil of service is unspeakable joy. I'm not talking about a mere smile. Smile, don't you know God loves you? I'm saying, you are doing it, you're full of joy. You are praying, tired, weak, like Jesus was weak, persecuted, like he was persecuted, uncomfortable circumstances, like he was. Who can be as uncomfortable as God becoming a man? Who? What can be as uncomfortable as a creator submitting to his own creature? That's why Paul says, let this mind be in you. Philippians 2:5, which also was in Christ. Even though he was God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself, made himself of no reputation, and became a servant. He said, with all my comfort and pleasure, I live in Aso Villa. I am so and so to the president. They now ask me to come and sleep on a chair to pray. Now, that's not befitting of not a believer. That's not befitting of, not a servant of God, that's not befitting of my status. But if being a man befit the status of God, being a child of Mary, carried in the womb, nevermore did he befit the status of God. This being spat at, nailed to the cross, befit the status of Almighty God. He served. And when he was at it, he was not complaining. When he was at it, he was full of agaleo, agaliasis. Such is the oil of service. No joy, oilless service. Prayer, no joy. Fasting, no joy. Evangelism, no joy. Follow up, no joy. Writing reports in grumbling. Feeling uncomfortable. Attending service with grumble. It's all in vain. The oil of service is the oil of gladness. Am I talking to anybody tonight? Stand to your feet in the name of Jesus. Full of joy. How joyful are you about service? How joyful about giving yourself to be used? How joyful when you have to go in that bus, when you have to carry your, get on Okada, when you have to in the sun. How joyful. I am a PhD holder. God became a man. All of us sing the song, So Will I. We love to sing it. People are more carried away by words than doing the wordings of the song. Why would you hear a song and you are not acting on it? So will I. So will I. World Changers Conference. Is it in an hotel? No. It's in the galaxies. So will I. Joy. You can't be serving with bitterness. You've wasted the service. You can't be. You know, I was in one meeting years ago. And there was a lady in the choir. You see it, obviously. I mean, everybody, and some people like to show their rebellion openly. Everybody will move like this. Glory, glory, Lord. She just do like this. So that you will see that she's not happy. That carnality is glorified. Abba. Abba. You got a bad day. Like everybody will. You got on a dashed expectation. You have believed that they will sign it. They said, come back next week. And you went there with your last kalu. And you are going for your zonal meeting. Or someone calls you to come and pray for him. Because you are saved. You glory. And you are going there. No money in your pocket. Not a great day. Not a nice day. Don't build your Christian life on nice days. Build it on the joy that has no end. You walk there. When you are done, the guy will now ask you, how was that? You are done. You had already preached. You had laid hands filled with the Holy Ghost. You had solved the person's problem. The guy now said, how is your job again? Say, I lost it. When was that? Which year? That day. You didn't even show it. I'm born again. I'm born again. When you get it again, you get that job. Say, bro, I'm still praying for you about that job issue. Because you won't even show it that you are going through something. You are going through something. No, I got another job. You didn't even show it. That doesn't change my mood. It doesn't change my mood. That is the oil of service. Full of joy.
my expectations not met. And you know human wants are insatiable. When you get something, you want another thing. But the joy of the Lord is eternal. And so, I'm so glad I belong to Jesus. I'm so glad I serve Him. We'll continue tomorrow. Bless tonight. Lift your hands. Bless God. Worship Him. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. It is a great thing.